Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're brand new with us, we're so glad that you're here and that you found us. Now, every day we dive right into the Bible with Pastor Rick Warren. And today, Rick is bringing his series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle to a Powerful Close, with a final look at how to strengthen our faith and live with greater love and peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. And if you've been longing for a breakthrough, please don't miss this. And here's a very important final part of a message from Rick called When a Friend is Dying.
We live in a society today that wants to cast away unusable people. Whether it's a child who's handicapped or it's a senior citizen who's losing their mental capacity. That person is just as precious when they cannot even get up and go to the bathroom on their own as they were when they were taking care of their own family as a mother or as a father. Get it? Good. Let me try that again. Get it? Good. They are precious to God, and their death is precious to God. And so God says, it better be precious to you because you're my child, and you want your death to be precious. It matters. So you fortify with emotional support, and you build them up. Now, how do you do that? Well, one of the ways is give them books to read. Better yet, read to them like Betsy did, Jack's mom. She would read to people. What's one of the greatest things you can do for people? So you fortify with emotional support. Now, the next O in comfort is open them up with questions. Open them up with questions. You need to open them up so they can unload. You see, when people are dying, they're carrying an enormous emotional load inside. They're carrying worry and fear and doubt and shame and guilt and regret and joy and sorrow and anxiety. They're carrying a whole panoply of emotion. And most people don't know how to get it out. Friends help friends get it out. You need to help people unload what they're feeling inside. Now that takes skill, but you can do this. And you can open them up so that they can unload and get it off their chest, all the heaviness that they're carrying about their impending death. Now, how do you do that? By asking open-ended questions. That's how you do it. Ask open-ended questions. In other words, questions that can't be answered by simply yes or no. You ask a question that demands a response more than simply a word or two. And that's how you get people to open up when they don't even know how to do it themselves. Now, this is a skill. The Bible says it like this, here on the screen, Proverbs 20, verse 5. A person's thoughts are like water in a deep well, but someone with insight can draw them out. A wise person, a wise friend, this is what I want you to be. I want you to be the kind of person who draws it out. It's like a bucket drawing water out of a well. You need to learn how to draw it out of other people so that they can unload all the weight that they're carrying. And the way you do that is by asking open-ended questions. Now, one of the problems, one of the fears that you have in dealing with people who are dying is, what if they ask me questions that I don't know the answer to? They will, and you don't. But that's okay. I've been a pastor for over 30 years. People ask me questions all the time I don't know the answer to. Let me give you three of them. Why me, why now, and why this? Nobody knows the answers to those three. Those are unanswerable questions you're never going to know on this side of eternity. There are some questions in life that just aren't going to be answered. And one of them is, why is this happening to me? It is an unanswerable question. And the Bible tells us that on the other side in eternity, we will see how it all fits together. We're going to understand, oh, that's why now, that's why me, and that's why this. But you don't see it now. And when they ask that question, you're not God. And on top of that, an explanation doesn't comfort. And what they need is comfort. What they really need is to talk it out. So here's how you do it. Here's a little tool for you to use. Whenever you get asked a question that is unanswerable by somebody who's dying, you ask it back to them. You mirror the question back to them and you rephrase it. Because what you really want to do is not answer the question. What you want to do is get them talking. Let me give you an example. If you're in a room and somebody's sick and they say, "Am I going to die?" How are you going to answer that? Well, you don't know. You don't know if they're going to die or not, most likely. But they say, "Am I going to die?" Instead of answering that question, rephrase the question back to them and say something like this. "Well, what does dying mean to you?" And then wait. Because what you've done is you've now got them talking. The question is not the question. The question is simply a symptom of something deeper that they need to get out. What does it mean to you to die? What are you feeling? And you ask back to them. Or if somebody asks you the question, "Why is this happening to me?" That's the unanswerable question. Now we know that God has a purpose behind every problem, that God's purpose is greater than your problem, that God wants to develop character and he wants to become like Christ. We know all that, but you don't know all the details of each specific thing that happens in life. And so when somebody says, "Why is this happening to me?" instead of trying to look for an answer, I would rephrase it and say, "Well, what do you feel is happening to you? What do you feel is happening to you?" See, what I'm doing is I'm now turning it back to, I am being a friend. I'm opening them up so they can talk about stuff that they don't know how to start talking about. One of the fears that a lot of people have when they're dying is the fear of unfinished business. "I wish I had done this. I wish I hadn't done that. I should have resolved that conflict. I should have made amends with. I should have done reconciliation. I wish I," and all that. As a friend, it's okay. In fact, it's a good thing for you to help them talk about their unfinished business. They're not going to get a chance to resolve it now. If they haven't resolved it by now, they're not going to get a chance, most likely. But it's good to let them talk it out. You're helping them unload. You're opening them up with questions and help them get it off their chest. If they've got unfinished business, it's encouraging them to talk about it. Don't slam it down. Don't shove it down. Let them talk about it. Now, let me give you a warning. If you have unfinished business with them, like you were hurt by your mom or dad, and you really want to tell them the bad things they did, and you want to tell them, make some critical statements and make some judgments, and you want to tell them now, and you wimped out, and you delayed and procrastinated, and you never dealt with it when you should have dealt with it, and now it's almost too late, and it's at the deathbed scene, and now you want to deal with it, sorry, it's too late. It's over, because this is not about you. And when somebody is dying, you do not have a right to dump on them. Because this is not about you, no matter how messed up you feel they caused you to get messed up. It's about them. Now, if they want to talk to you and they want to say, "I'm sorry for this," and that's great. And if you want to say something like, "You know, Dad, I didn't tell you that I loved you, or I never told you enough, or I had problems with this and that, I'm so sorry." If you want to apologize, that's great. But if you've got some kind of judgmental statement or critical statement to make, and you were a coward and you didn't do it when I told you to do it, which was a whole lot earlier, if you got something between you and your parents right now, you go home today and get it right. You go call them up today. Don't wait until the deathbed. That's too late. That's the wrong time to do it. The time to do it is now. If you got a confrontation due, you deal with it now. Because once it gets to that time, that stage, it's too late, friend. It's not about you. No matter how much they hurt you, it's not about you. It's about them dying with dignity. You say, well, what do I do, Rick? I've got all this pent-up anger in me, and my mom is dying, or my dad's dying, or this brother's dying, or whatever, who really hurt me. What do I do now? Because you want to dump on them. Here's what you do. You go into another room, and you write out all of what you're feeling, your emotions, and you read it aloud to another person. But you don't dump on them. Does that make sense? You don't dump on them. As a pastor who loves you and cares for you, and I'm giving my life to help you be what God wants you to be, if you got something with somebody, you go get it right now. Don't wait until it's too late. Because when they get sick and they're about to die, it's too late. At that point, it's about them, not about you. Now, by the way, if they don't want to talk about death, that's okay. Some people don't want to talk about it. Some people just want to shut it down. It's not good for them, but if they don't want to, don't force them. That's okay. R in comfort. The R stands for remember the family has needs too. Remember the family has needs too. Now, this is where you can really be a friend to other people. If you've got a friend who's ill and they're dying, you can really help the whole family, not just them. And one of the ways you can do it is you can ask questions that maybe the family feels uncomfortable asking. For instance, it's okay, it's perfectly okay for you to ask somebody who's dying, have you made any preparations for your death? And somebody's got to find that out. That's okay. It's not an offensive question. It's okay to ask, what are your preferences? Do you have any preferences about your memorial service? What would you like? Anything you would like at your memorial service. That's okay. It's entirely appropriate to ask that question. It is okay for you as a friend to ask, do you have a will? Have you made a will? Because you're not going to be in it. And so there's no personal motivation here. But you can ask some things that the family needs to ask that maybe they feel uncomfortable asking. And that's what friends do. You see, friends, all over Southern California and all around the world, there are millions of people who are hurting, who are bleeding, who are dying, who are lonely, who need somebody to show up in their life. Are you doing that with anybody? Is there anybody in your life where you are totally unselfishly helping them without any knowledge or fanfare or recognition by anybody else? You see, the whole business of Christianity is not simply for you to be successful and be happy and balanced, but for you to learn how to give your life away, to be unselfish, to learn to give, to be like Jesus. The whole business of Christianity is going out into the sores of life where people are hurting and broken and in despair and needing help and showing love in those situations. And if you're not doing that, I doubt your Christianity. Because as I said, Jesus didn't come just to make you satisfied. He came to teach you how to grow up, how to be unselfish, how to be like Him, how to learn how to love, how to treat everybody in the world as precious in His sight. Now, there's one last thing in comforting people. We've looked at these others. Offering physical presence and ministering practical assistance and fortifying emotional support, helping people make relational connections with questions, remembering the family. The T stands for the most important of all. Turn them to Jesus. Turn them to Jesus. I cannot heal anybody physically. Jesus Christ can heal their heart spiritually. And we want them to go into eternity prepared to meet God, having been at peace with God, having accepted His gift of salvation, having turned to Jesus so they'll spend eternity in heaven. That is the hope of our faith. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 45. Turn to me now, God says, and be saved. Turn to me. People all over the world. That's why we do the peace plan. Turn to me now and be saved. People all over the world, I am the only God there is. Look at this next verse up here on the screen. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. God didn't send 20 Jesuses. He didn't send 100 Jesuses. He sent one. And he sent him at Christmas time. And the whole world's going to celebrate it. And what did he send him to be? To be our Savior. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who's Christ Lord. Believe me, if you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have wasted the time. You need to be saved. You need a Savior. You need salvation. If you didn't, we don't even need to celebrate Christmas. God sent a Savior to earth. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Well, one of the things he came to do is to take away your fear of death. How? By dying on the cross, paying for all your sins so you could go to heaven, resurrecting again to show that there is life after death, and to say that show that what he had said about life hereafter was true. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 2, for only as a human being could Jesus die. He had to be human to die, so God had to become a human. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who has the power of death. Only in this way could he deliver those who've lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. I don't want you to be afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of dying. God says, I want to break this fear in your life. And instead of looking to our pain, God says, I want you to look to me and look to the hope of heaven. And you need to help those who are dying do the same. Look at this verse. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. The IVs, the doctors, the medical equipment, the machines. We don't look at all the troubles we see right now. We look forward to what we have not yet seen. That's heaven. For the troubles which we see will soon be over. But the joys to come will last forever. Forever. So what do we want to do? When somebody's dying, we want to encourage them to do what David did. Last verse. Death itself, he says, stared me in the face. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Have you ever done that? You can't offer to other people what you haven't received yourself. If you haven't settled the issue of your destiny, you are gambling with your eternity. That's not too smart. So let me just ask you, if you were to die tonight, are you absolutely certain that you would go to heaven? Let me say it another way. If you were to die tonight and stand before Jesus and Jesus said, why should I let you into my house? Would you know the right answer? If you don't, may it be my privilege right now to help you settle that issue. Let's bow our heads. Pray this prayer in your heart right now. Just say it quietly in your mind. Dear God, you are God and I'm not. And at Christmas time, you sent Jesus to be my Savior. So I must need to be saved. I need you to forgive the things I've done wrong in life. I need you to give me a fresh start in life. I need you to help me to know my purpose that you created me for. And I want to begin a relationship with you. As much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life. I want to learn to trust you. I want to learn to love you. I want to learn to love other people the way you want me to treat everybody as precious. And so I ask you today, with humility and honesty and sincerity, to please save me as I put my trust in you. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
Hey, if you just prayed that prayer along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, wow, Rick would love to hear about it. Please email Rick at PastorRick.com and let him know about it. He'd love to send you free tools that will help you on your spiritual journey. Okay, did you know that God has a dream for your life? Yeah, before you took your very first breath, He'd already placed the gift of imagination into your brain, and He'd hardwired creativity into every cell of your body. Isn't that amazing? But discovering and fulfilling your God-given dream will require a journey of faith on your part. So that's why Pastor Rick just released the Created to Dream Bible Study. It's awesome, and it's based on the core teaching found in his best-selling book, Created to Dream. Now, this six-week video-based study will reveal the process that God uses to fulfill the custom-made dream he has just for you, and the faith-building phases he'll lead you through as he does. This video study includes an enhanced workbook with lesson outlines, key verses, and homework for deeper reflection between each session. You can do the study on your own or with friends or in a small group. Not that your small group aren't your friends. You know what I mean. So whether you're feeling stuck, forgotten, afraid, or uninspired, the Created to Dream Bible Study will give you the tools you need to awaken and pursue the custom-made dream that God created you to fulfill. We are so grateful for all your support, so be sure to request the Created to Dream Bible Study when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the Word of God to a hurting world. That's our way of saying thank you so much for your support. Just go to PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com, and that's got two R's in the middle. Or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.